Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia. This week we bring the season of Easter to an end. It has been a joyous and glorious 50 days, remembering the great work of our Savior Jesus for us and for our salvation. His extraordinary victory over those great enemies of ours named sin, death, and the devil. In Jesus, we need fear them no more. In Jesus, they can harm us none. Next Sunday, we will celebrate the great feast of Pentecost, when Jesus fulfilled his promise to send the Holy Spirit. And we begin to consider Jesus' ongoing work for us. For his ascension, which we celebrated Wednesday night, does not mean that he is gone, only that he is now working in a new way. So how appropriate to end this Easter season today by hearing Jesus pray. It is a good example for us and a good reminder that Jesus is always praying for you, even after his resurrection and ascension. When you forget to pray for yourself, Jesus is bringing you and your needs before the Father, always interceding for us, which I know, at least for me, is a very comforting thought. But the prayer of Jesus that we hear today is of special importance because it is his final prayer before his arrest and crucifixion. And when time is short, you pray for what matters most. So what is it that Jesus prays? Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Jesus prays that his disciples, his children, his church be one. One, even as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are united as one in the Holy Trinity. One, even as a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and the two become one flesh. One, as the number that cannot be divided, a true and complete uniting. But as we look around at the world today, we see anything but oneness. Sin divides what God has joined together. Marriages are broken. Brother turns against brother. Ancient hostilities and prejudices turn country against country. Perhaps these could be expected, the result of sin in our world. But tragically, we see this hostility and division also in the church for which Jesus prays, which has been shattered into literally thousands of denominations, with fighting within every denomination, within church bodies, within individual congregations. And if you have not shed tears for this, you should. For every division hurts the whole church and every part of her, whether you are directly involved or not. In fact, the fighting once got so bad in the early church that a pagan historian remarked that no wild beasts were so hostile to men as were the Christians to one another. No wonder Jesus prays that they may be one. No one knows the sin in this world and its devastating effects more than He who made the world and watched us fall. No one knows the destructiveness and depths of sin more than He who took it all upon Himself on the cross. No one knows the sting of death more than He who was swallowed up by it, so that He might swallow it up in His resurrection. No one knows more than Jesus the hurt and pain you feel because of sin and death, because of division and separation, because of isolation and loneliness. No one knows better than Him that it is not good for man to be alone. And so He prays for you, that you not be alone, that we may be one. But how is that oneness achieved in the church? Many attempts are being made today, but all fall short. Agreeing to disagree is not true oneness, but a false unity. Toleration is even worse than that, for it acknowledges differences even while oxymoronically trumpeting unity. And then there are those who deny that the truth exists at all, and that our unity comes in our common search for truth, in whatever size, shape, and form that may take for you. Let us shed tears over these developments in the church as well. For all these paths to oneness suffer a common malady. They're all man-made. And no man-made unity is true oneness. Nor can it be. There is only one unity that is true and lasting. The oneness accomplished not by human hands, but by the hands that were both human and divine. The hands once nailed to the cross, the hands of our Savior Jesus. We are one when we are one in Him. So how is this accomplished? How are we one in Christ? Well, Jesus mentions two ways in His prayer, two ways that will not be surprising to you at all. First, He prays, "Holy Father, keep them in Your name, that they may be one." We are united to God and to one another when the holy name of God is put upon us in holy baptism. In those waters is not a work that you do, but the applying of the death and resurrection of Christ to you. There, Jesus unites you to Himself, frees you from your slavery to sin, forgives you, and raises you to a new life in Him. That you are given a new family of faith. And we become brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, as with all families, brothers and sisters sometimes fight. But we dare not lose sight of the unity we have nonetheless in Christ. You may not like all your brothers and sisters, but you are still their keeper. And we need to pray for them, help them, love them, correct them, admonish them, and encourage them in the truth. Carefully and patiently, not rashly and harshly. Knowing that as one in Christ, if you hurt them, you're really hurting yourself. And if you help them, you are helping yourself. And so we are one in Christ. And then second, Jesus prays, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. To sanctify means simply to make holy. And we are made holy when we are forgiven. Forgiveness, which is not a feeling, but the objective word of God pronounced upon you. The verdict that you are not guilty because of the work of Christ for you. That His death and resurrection has atoned for your sin and made you right with God. And so you do not ever have to wonder about your standing before God, because the Word of God is faithful and true and does what it says. For the Word of God is no dead and lifeless word, a word without power. It is a living and active word, a Spirit-filled word, a word that became flesh. And so a word that comes to you, works in you, and sanctifies you. And nowhere is that more evident than for us than here at the altar. For here in the Lord's Supper, the Son of God, the Word made flesh, comes to you in truth and gives you His body to eat and His blood to drink. Here the living and active Word comes and forgives your sins as He gives you Himself. Here the living and active Word, Jesus, unites you to Himself in the closest bond of fellowship and makes you one with Him and one with each other. Just as with baptism, here is not a work that you do, but that He does. We come here as many grains, each with our own lives, struggles, hurts, and problems, and are made one loaf in Jesus. One loaf made holy by the Holy One. But so we are united and one in the church, and that comes from the name and the word of God. But where these are denied, where we judge the word instead of the word judging us, either wholly or in part, our unity is broken. And in some cases, shattered. And that's what we see happening in the world and the church today. As some call what God calls sin, not sin at all. As some deny the work and presence of Christ for us in baptism and the Lord's Supper. As some would change the name of God. And so change who God is and how we think of Him. As some would belittle our Savior and claim other ways to salvation. And there are myriad other examples that could be listed here of how God's word is denied among us. It is no small thing. And rents asunder Christian from Christian and brother from brother. So what are we to do? Well, first of all, repent. For you are not guiltless. It is easy to look at all the false teaching and schism in the church around the world with a sense of either scorn or pride. But when you repent, you are not looking at your brother with a condescending look from above. you are with him in humility, in brokenness, in need of forgiveness. And we are together where we belong, focused not on ourselves, but on our Savior, that he may not only forgive you and others, but heal the hurt that you have caused, unite the divisions you have abetted, love those you have failed to love, that we may be one in him. And then second, follow Jesus' example and pray. Pray that your Father would bring together his church in oneness through your Savior and his Spirit. And then trust and rejoice that he is. That your prayer is heard and answered in ways that we sometimes are privileged to see, but in ways that often remain unknown to us. And then finally, pray to stand firm in God's name and word, and that those who now deny would come to know the truth as well. For only in the name of Jesus and his word is the forgiveness, truth, and holiness that we need. And it is through his word that your Savior is working, making us one in him. If we lose that, we lose everything. But if we have that, we have everything. For we have his promise that where he is, there is his name, working through his word to bless you and keep you. And he is. For just as Jesus was resolute in setting his face to go to Jerusalem to ascend the cross for you, and nothing could stop him, so too is he resolute for you now and for his church to bless us and keep us and forgive us until the last day when Christ comes as the bridegroom to take home his bride, the church, forever. On that day, the oneness now hidden will finally be revealed. You know, the devil is constantly tempting us to look at the church and despair, at the division, at the scandal, tempting us to think that Jesus' prayer for oneness went unheard or unanswered. But do not believe it. Christ has not left his bride, and his love for her and for you remains undiminished. How our Father answers this prayer and when is not up to us. Only know that he is. For that is his promise to us. His promise, which is more sure than anything we can see anyway. For if Christ is risen from the dead, is there any problem of ours too great for him to overcome? So let us trust. And trusting, let us exclaim and rejoice in the face of our adversary one more time this Easter season. In his face, that Christ is risen. And truly in him, we are one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.